Hey, happy Thanksgiving, church. Did you have a great Thanksgiving? We did too. You know, Thanksgiving brings some amazing memories to me. When I was a youngster, we had our family, the whole Grafton Shear family, came to our house for Thanksgiving dinner. And it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal because what would happen is that we had 45 people sitting in our living in our kitchen. Okay, we had a big kitchen, and that's what it kind of looked like, and we had lots of. I can still remember, you know, waking up in the morning and smelling the turkey and bread, and it was really a great thing. And so we ate, and then we spent time talking to relatives, and we ate and played games, and we ate, and I think back then we watched maybe we watched a little bit of TV, but not a whole lot because it didn't have football on at that particular time, and we ate, and then after that we had leftovers, and. Thanksgiving brings back some amazing memories for me. When we had our first Thanksgiving in Russia, and trying to find a turkey in Russia was a challenge for us. Fortunately, Moscow was about an hour and a half away from our home, and we went to Moscow and found a store that sold American stuff. And in that store, they had turkeys. Now, how many here spent less than 50 cents a pound for turkey this year? Okay, good job, everybody. Yeah, we did too because somebody brought turkey to us, so we had free turkey. So we spent a lot less than 50 cents. But when we bought our turkey in Russia, it was over $6 a pound. And however, you know, when you're thinking about Thanksgiving and you're going to have the team together, it was 8 of us on the team. $6 was a great investment. It was a joy just bringing back the memories of living at home and celebrating with our family. I was in Uzbekistan, and on Wednesday, I was staying with a family, and Sasha came to me and said, I saw a turkey in the Renick this morning. This was Wednesday morning. And apparently everybody around the world knows that Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. And so he was kind of thinking maybe I'd be interested in buying a turkey. And I said, well, how much was it? And he told me. And so I said, yeah, go buy it. So on Thursday morning, he comes in with this turkey, is holding it up, and he handed it to me. It was a live turkey, okay? Still wiggling around. And so I went to teach in the module, and when I came back, there was turkey feathers all over the back porch, and the head of the turkey was sitting right there by the door, and he invited his whole family for turkey, and it wasn't Butterball. I don't think it had. The breast meat may have been that thick. It was kind of like, and what they did is, and they heard in America you stuff the turkey, so they stuffed this turkey, and when they took the stuffing out, it was like a big brick. You had to slice it but it was a wonderful celebration of Thanksgiving in Uzbekistan, and then in Ukraine, I had Thanksgiving with some missionaries, and it was really amazing because the embassy in Ukraine flew turkeys over and invited American citizens that they could have as many turkeys as they wanted. And so you put your order in, and the embassy flew them over, and so I had an absolutely wonderful turkey dinner with some missionaries in Ukraine. Okay, now, you see a common thread here. Like turkey, but isn't it interesting that in the midst of that common thread, one of the things that we really should have been doing a lot of, and we probably didn't do enough of, is give thanks. And it was so much it was such an opportunity to be involved in the celebration of relationships and the joy of being together. And I don't think we did enough Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. I was looking at some passages of Scripture, and isn't it interesting that in the Old and New Testament, you know, it's filled with things in verses and encouragement to be involved in giving thanks. You know, in Psalm 106, it says, "We give thanks because God's good." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, because this is God's will for you." God's will for us. Do you want to know what God's will is? Well, one part of God's will is that we give thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "We give thanks for always for everything." Isn't that an interesting responsibility we have as believers? In Colossians, I mean, there's a really, really amazing group of verses in Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 12, when Paul talks about salvation, and he starts this whole amazing thing that God has done with the thought of, let's give thanks. Give thanks for what God has done in providing salvation for us. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, it basically says that Thanksgiving is the mark of the church. If we really want to be exhibiting what the church should be doing, what church members should be involved in, one of the amazing characteristics, or one of the prominent characteristics, is giving thanks. Listen to these words. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, the church, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So this is a wonderful time of year to be reminded of our responsibility as believers, isn't it? And I just wonder, how much have we been involved in expressing our gratefulness over the last 3 or 4 days, especially during this week? I mean, like the psalmist says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." I wonder, as you came to church today, were you thankful for the driver that was behind you, kind of like not giving you enough room? And were you thankful for the opportunity of stopping at stoplights? And were you just thankful that you had an opportunity to come here and express gratefulness in light of the fact that we have the privilege of worshiping together? It's to be a characteristic of our life. And it's so much so that when Paul talks about the last days, you know what he says? One of the marks of the last days is that people are unthankful and unholy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he characterizes that age as being an age of unthankfulness and unholiness. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the fact that when people diminished the character of God, one of the things that was true of them is that they were unthankful. That's chapter 1, verse 21. It's a description of those who rejected God. And so, what are you thankful for? I had a friend write to me this week and said that this was a person who goes to our church, and she said she's thankful for sleepless nights because it means that she has children to love and time to pray. She was thankful for a house to clean because it indicated that she had a place to stay. She was thankful for laundry because it meant she had clothes to wear. She was thankful for dirty dishes because she had food to eat. She was thankful for toilets to clean because she had indoor plumbing. She was thankful, and I grew up in a home that didn't have indoor plumbing, so I know how wonderful that is. She was thankful for lots of noise, because it meant that she had people in her life, and she was thankful for being sore and tired in bed, because it meant she was alive. So, what are you thankful for? I think that one of the things that really leads to Thanksgiving is that we have an understanding that all we have, all we are, comes from God. Think about that for a second. It is a recognition that we enjoy the blessing of the investment of others in our lives to help us where we are today. Most of all, it's a recognition that all of this is because of the goodness of God. God is good. And we can't, Martin Luther said, we can't get anything, can't give God anything, because everything is already his. All we have comes from him. We can only give him praise, honor, and thanks. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what about missionaries? You know, missionaries have a lot to be thankful for. I'm reminded over and over again of the things that God has done in order to help me be involved in ministry. Missionaries are aware that physical strength does not guarantee effectiveness. I was supposed to be in Ukraine last month, and I was feeling well. I was healthy, but the Prime Minister of Ukraine said that Americans couldn't come. The whole thing in relationship to the ability to do God's work is so dependent on God and can be crushed really easily by decisions and power struggles that people have. I applied for a visa to go to a place, and the visa was turned down. On the other hand, the first time I went to Uzbekistan, I applied for a 1-month single entry visa. And that's what the invitation was that came from a group in Uzbekistan. And when the visa came and was in my passport, it was a 4-year multi-entry visa. When I showed it to my friends in Uzbekistan, they were astonished. You know, God took a 1-month invitation and translated into, isn't that something to really be thankful for? I'm thankful that this is spiritual work. You know, it's a spiritual work that only God can do. And it reminds me that I have to be involved in this work through depending on the work of the Holy Spirit. What's happening right here in this room is, you know, as we're talking about God's word, you know, the Holy Spirit works through his word in my life, and then he works in it through his word and through my words into your life. It's a spiritual work. But one of the interesting things is that is what I've noticed, and we can go to the next slide. What I've noticed is that there's a dynamic, a relational dynamic that's a part of Thanksgiving that every missionary understands. These connections are vital to the success of anything that we do. We can't do it alone. And it's apparent that mission work is accomplished by the combination of efforts of so many people. Even when you think about what Christ did when he was sending out the first disciples, he sent them out in teams. It was an effort, a combined effort. It was an effort where they combined their talents, their gifts, their personalities in order to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. And when I look at these pictures, I see the guys down on the left-hand side are really dear friends from southern Ukraine. And we had an opportunity to spend time with them for 4 years. And Andy was one of the, the ones that helped me teach this group. And their purpose was to start 80 new churches in a county that was probably the size of this, the county that you're in. What's the name of this county? Franklin County, okay. So when we left, the man that's on the far left in the red coat started the next module, and he had 30 new students that they used our material and taught 30 new students in order to plant 80 new churches. I mean, what an opportunity to see God working in the life of these partners as they advance the kingdom in a place in Ukraine. I can think of Vladimir in Russia, and Oleg in Ukraine, and Mujik and Amara in Mongolia, and Nikolai in Uzbekistan, and Pavel in Russia, and Evgeny in Moldova, and Esteban in Costa Rica, and Isaac in India, and Michael in China. All these men partnered in order for us to accomplish some things that we could never have accomplished without their help. As a result, it's obvious that the apostles thought that it was critical to build these personal relationships with people. And God established these relationships too. And so it was, the early church was taught the importance of these relationships from the very beginning. And it's no wonder that they responded to one another with obvious recognition of the value of sharing and caring. What Paul provides let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 and see what Paul says in relationship to this area of giving thanks. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making prayer my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's thank the Lord together. Father in heaven, as we look at your word today, I just ask that you will direct our thinking. Help us, Lord, to hear what your word has to say and to make application in our own lives for the glory of your Son, I pray. Amen. When I look at this passage of scripture, it seems to me like Paul is speaking words to me. It's obvious that he, as a missionary, he is giving thanks. And here in this passage of scripture, there are four characteristics of thanksgiving that I'd like to share with you. The first characteristic is that Paul had the right focus. One of the things that happens to missionaries all the time is that they get thanked for things that they never do. Sometimes I think it's because of the way we write prayer letters, but a lot of it is just due to the fact that that people thank us for what other people have accomplished. I get thanked for modules that you guys have sponsored. I mean, you guys have provided, you folks have provided money for modules, and the national leaders thank me for what you've provided, when they should be thanking you for what you've provided. I have a person who gives me socks and lotion and stationery and other gifts to give to all my students. Okay, I've given probably 1,000 pair of socks to people all over the world because of this person that gives me socks to carry it all over the world. And guess what? I'm the one that gets thanked for that. This person has done all this stuff in providing the things for me to give, but the thanks go to me. Doesn't seem right, does it? You know, I sometimes wonder, okay, how often do I get thanked for things that that are the result of what other people do? Here Paul says, I thank my God for you. He directs the attention of his thanks in the proper way. In Russia and Ukraine, they have Thanksgiving services. The church has a Thanksgiving service, and it's on a Sunday morning, and it's not a regular day. It's a day that the church decides on, and what they have is people bring food in. It's kind of like their harvest Sunday. They bring food in, and then they have. Something that you guys did last week. They have children singing. Did you do that last week? You know, and people read poems, and they have a sermon on Thanksgiving, and then, like all Baptists, they end the service with this big feast, and everybody sits around the table, and then they eat, and it's really interesting to watch what happens after the service, because I've seen people go to the kids and say, "Boy, you did a great job," and as I've watched that, I often think. Okay, maybe I should go to parents and say, you know, you did a wonderful job at encouraging your child to be involved in this. You did a wonderful job at helping them get ready. You did a super job at helping them prepare. And go to the person who put the whole thing on and just say to them, you did a tremendous job at directing this. Thanks so much for your effort, for what you did. So isn't it often that sometimes we, as we're involved in this whole process of giving thanks, we miss the people that are really involved in the ministry? It's important, I think, that we are careful to direct our attention to the one that's truly responsible. When we thank others, it's always good to help them to know that our appreciation of them is really directed to God. And that's what Paul did here. He made it possible. It's God that made it possible for them to do the things that were really helpful. And Paul wanted them to understand who is really responsible, encouraged them to focus their attention on the Father as well. He says, I thank my God. How many times do you think that Paul directs the attention of the Philippians to Christ in the first chapter? Okay, would you say, how many would say that it's more than 10 times in 29 verses? How many would say it's more than 15 times in 29 verses? Come on, okay? Do you know it's 18 times, Paul mentions Jesus Christ 18 times in the first chapter alone. The direct, think about that. The focus of Paul's thanksgiving, the focus of Paul's attention is on Christ. And it was wonderful that, you know, we're talking about singing Christmas songs. Well, I mean, in relationship to our understanding of what of the ministry, you know, every song should be directed to what Christ has done, to what God has done. We can't miss this. He expressed his gratefulness to those in Philippi, but he knew that God was working in their lives to produce those qualities that he appreciated so much. You know, we can't overdo our thankfulness to God, can we? It's he who worked for us in providing salvation. It's God who worked in us to bring us sanctification. It's God that works through us in our service for him. You know, all this is all about God and what he has done. We thank the Lord for his salvation, for his blessing in our lives, for believers. And we even Paul goes on to say in the last chapter that he thinks that we should be thanking the Lord for times of anxiety. You know, be anxious for nothing, but by everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to the Lord. I mean, isn't this an amazing time for us to be involved in expressing our thanks to God? Yeah. So Paul had the right focus. But also Paul had the right reason. Look what he says here. He says, I've done this because it's right for me to do this, because I hold you in my heart. Paul is expressing himself in a very, very interesting way. I'm sure most of you know that he uses this word that means it's kind of like a descriptive word that talks about our the inside organs of our body. Okay, it's a Greek word that is kind of like. It's not a good sounding Greek word, but basically it's talking about Paul was aching for them. You know, have you ever had, you know, love somebody so much that it just ached? Well, Paul is talking about, he's saying here, the reason why he is thanking them is because he holds them. He aches for them. He loves them so much. He cares for them. And so what that do? Well, when you care for somebody, it prompts you to do something for them. And so what he did, he says, and because I care for you, because I love you, because I ache for you, I pray for you. And this whole idea of thanksgiving now moves to something which is really, really important. And that is, he thanks them and he prays for them because he wants to move them. He wants to motivate them in relationship to right kind of living. And it's so genuine thanks is never used to manipulate people. Okay, Paul wasn't saying, "Hey, I really thank you because I want more from you. I want you to constantly give more to me. You just need to do more for me." That wasn't the idea at all. The idea here is that he is thanking them to move them forward in relationship to their own godly living. And this is what he says. He says, "I want my prayer is that you will abound more and more in knowledge and discernment." He prays that they will grow in wisdom. He prays that they'll grow in righteousness, the fruit of righteousness. He prays that they'll grow in love. So he's thanking them as he's motivating them towards spiritual things. He's praying that God would continue to work in their heart and life. And so, He asks the Lord to work in their lives in relationship to right actions. Did you notice that Paul is more concerned about proper behavior than a particular gift. As a matter of fact, when he talks about financial help in chapter 4, he says that the Philippians gave to him more than once. But then he says this, he says something really interesting. He says, you know, I don't desire a gift, but I desire blessings to be given to you. And then he says, this very interesting verse in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know what that's all about? That has nothing to do with ability. That has to do with contentment. Paul is talking, that the context there is, I can be content in every situation because of God, because of what Christ has done in my life, and he's the one who strengthens me. So, Paul expresses this in relationship to right actions. And then, finally, Paul thanks them for their partnership in the gospel. They provided for him. They stood up for him. They cared for him. The term here is the Greek term is koinonia. You know, lots of times in scripture, this word is translated fellowship. But it's really, in this passage of scripture, it's really talking about them partnering with him in the gospel. What did they do? They prayed for him. They sent one of their ministers to him. They teamed up with him and worked by sending money. And they labored with him. By the way, this is exactly what Maranatha has done for us. You know, over the past 25 years, you have been involved in the same kind of activity for us. You've prayed for us. Andy taught with me in Ukraine. I mean, through Zoom, this past year. You've sent him to Costa Rica to minister. It's a wonderful thing. Appreciation is noticing and saying how others have helped us, and we need to have our eyes open to see things like that. Of course, you know, Paul wanted to express his appreciation for the gift of special favor. This past week, we had somebody come to our house, and they said, hey, we'd like to provide some dessert for you. And so they came to our house, and they gave us some dessert. And I immediately wanted to say to them, to Mirtha, her name was Mirtha, I wanted to say thank you to her. But really, effective gratitude is to say thanks for the motivation that comes behind what is given. And that's what Paul did. He thanked them not only for their activity, but what their activity, what their gift demonstrated. They were partners in the work. And every missionary and every pastor understands the necessity of this kind of partnership. And then they did it at the right time. Look what he says here. He says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Obviously, the Philippian church was a special church. It didn't have any problems, right? Actually, you know what I think? I think that what happened was that Paul was writing chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 so he could get to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, there were two people that were having issues. And Paul was talking all about this wonderful thing in relationship to unity and what God was doing in their life and the blessing that in order for these two people to understand the wonder of Jesus Christ and what he's done and his humility. Okay, so he knew that there was difficulties, but even in the midst of that, those difficulties, he thanked the Lord for them. And I thought about that for a little bit. You know, Everywhere I go, the church is a mess. I mean, church work is messy. We sit beside people. We have people that are sitting with us in the congregation, and all of us understand we're all sinners. I mean, we all have issues. But in the midst of understanding that we all have issues, that here's Paul thanking them for who they were, for what he wanted to see in their life, in every prayer of his, expressing this care, concern, and thanksgiving. And I thought about that, and I think, you know, as I think about the congregation in my church, you know, and I think about all the people that are sitting in that congregation, what a wonderful thing to be able to say, thank you, God, for these brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness in our lives and what you can do through our lives. And maybe there are areas where there's conflict. Maybe there's areas where there's difficulty. But thank you, God, for what you can do, how you can work through those, even those times of difficulty and conflict. Genuine thanks for what is happening, for what God is doing, even in the midst of the mess. Thanks comes from the recognition of the goodness of God. It's a mark of a spiritual man. We come to recognize who we are, then gratefulness flows out of our lips. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. It's the mark of contentment. When people are really thankful, then they are content. It's the opposite of the attitude of the world. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 5 says. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. But all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talking, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. So, thank you, folks. This church means a lot to me and Libby. Maranatha is unique. You've supported us for decades. Thanks for your faithfulness. Your pastor has taught students in Ukraine, and he's taught with me this year. Thanks for your sacrifice. You've asked hard questions. You've held me accountable. You're the only church that sends me an accountability thing every year to check me out. Thanks for your conscientiousness. You've prayed for my family, and you know what we're doing. Thanks for your partnership in the ministry. So, let me ask you, can we convey appreciation to God for those who are sitting around you today? Before you leave today, can you thank them for their partnership in the gospel in this place in the world? Can you do that? Can you express gratitude that what they have done is an expression of God, of what God has done in their lives? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege that we have of being together this morning. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace. Thank you for the partnership that we can have in the ministry because of the way you work, because of how you have set things up so that even when I am in a country far away, this church is partnering with me in prayer and in other expressions of support. I pray your blessing upon them. Continue to watch over them. Bless them for Jesus' sake. Amen.